this is Angels broadcaster Trent Rush, and you're listening to Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Now here's your host, my guy, Taylor Blake Ward.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. You're locked in with Taylor Blake Ward. It's great to have you on this Thursday, February 20th, 2020. We're going to continue with our division preview. We're going to have Jason Burke of Locked On A's stop by in a little bit here. Before we get to him, though, we got to remind you to follow us on Twitter, at Locked On Angels. You can follow me personally, at Taylor Blake Ward. Also, if you want to download today's show or subscribe to Locked On Angels, you can do so via Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or whatever podcasting platform you're using to listen to today's show. Continuing on with our division preview, I'm going to bring in Jason Burke of Locked On Athletics. I guess it's Locked On A's, right, Jason?
It is Locked On A's, yes. It was something we were going on when you had me on before. We settled on Locked On A's.
Is it inappropriate to call the team the Oakland Athletics? Is it still the Oakland A's? Someone got on me about that. I called them the Athletics, and they said, oh, it's the A's.
I mean, no, whenever I look for news, I type in Oakland Athletics, because if you type in A's, that could lead you down all sorts of paths. And athletics is a little tricky sometimes, too, because it'll be like, oh, look, this baseball team in Oakland called the Athletics, but not, you know, the A's, not the major league team, but, you know, like a high school team or something like that. So
yeah.
It gets a little tricky, but we still find our news.
I love it. Jason, I want to start off with the rotation. I want to start off with pitching, but I'm looking at this rotation. The Oakland A's were a very good team last year with a make-fix rotation. And again, I'm looking at this rotation this year, and I'm looking at a lot of question marks. The two biggest things for me when it comes to the A's in 2020 and looking at the Athletics rotation is Jesus Luzardo and A.J. Puck. Can those two guys carry this rotation along with the other members of this rotation and make the A's someone that can fight for the division or fight for a wild card? Where does that play in? Because that's my biggest question when it comes to the Oakland Athletics.
You hit the nail on the head right there. Puck and Luzardo are two highly touted prospects. And I talked about this yesterday in my breakout performers, and I was going over Sean Murphy. And I think that the fact that Sean Murphy has worked with both Puck and Luzardo is going to pay huge dividends for the Oakland Athletics, or Oakland A's, whatever you want to go with, from, you know, opening day all the way through the end of the season, because they've worked with him. They have confidence in him. If they want to bury a ball in the dirt, they know he's going to go get it. So I feel like they're going to be a little more comfortable than regular rookies would be. They're going to have growing pains, obviously, as the league catches up. But I think that they have the stuff and the makeup and the ability to hit the ground running with Oakland and, you know, really solidify that rotation.
And there's no denying that their stuff is incredible. There's a reason why they are some of the best pitching prospects in the game. I think my question more than anything is, can both of these guys give you 150 to 200 innings? And maybe 200 is the high max, but can they give you 150 to 175 innings of highly competitive pitching from the rotation? Because these are still young guys, and I'm not going to discredit them. I think they are both incredibly talented. But to pitch 150 innings in the major leagues and go into September when you're in a division race or a wild card race, can those two guys continue to make this rotation special?
That's another great question, Taylor. This whole offseason, I've been saying that they're probably going to be, you know, put in the bullpen a little bit and, you know, limit their innings in some way while keeping them on the major league roster. But first day of spring training, Bob Melvin came out and said that there's going to be no innings limits on these guys. So we'll see if that holds true later in the season, if, you know, they're skipping days in the rotation to get them an extra day of rest. Sean Manaea is another guy who didn't pitch a whole season last year. They got to build up their arm strength for sure. And so I think 150 to 160 is probably going to be about where you're going to see them. They're going to be a little tricky with you know, how they run them out there every 5-6 days. But the A's got depth in the rotation too, with other guys that are in the minors, like Dalton Jeffries, Grant Holmes, James Caprillion, who could be ready at some point to fill in for a start or two, or, you know, and, you know, help them out that way. So they might not be postseason ready, but it would ensure that both Puck and Luzardo would be more apt, be more successful in the playoffs, I would think.
And you mentioned the depth. I wanted to touch on the depth. You have James Kaprielian, Grant Holmes, Dalton Jeffries. These guys, how much are the Oakland A's relying on let's say, those three primary guys there? Because they're pretty premier prospects themselves.
I think the hope is that they're not going to have to rely on them too much, but it's nice to have them in the back pocket right now. I mean, they'll be coming into the fold a little bit more as Mike Fiers, you know, leaves as a free agent, presumably after the end of the season. And then that'll open up a spot in the rotation. But you still got Frankie Montas, who's been solid. Granted, he got popped for PEDs last year and missed 80 games. But, you know, if he was more of a PED wonder than, you know, actually turning a corner, then maybe his spot opens up this season. There's spots in the bullpen that I think could become available with Joaquin Soria and some other guys that, you know, they're good veterans, but you could get an upgrade here and there. And that might be how they utilize some of those younger guys in the minors this season.
Now, you mentioned Sean Manaea, Frankie Montas, Mike Fiers, Chris Bassett. I'm going to throw his name in there as well. The rest of the rotation. So you've got four guys that are pretty solidified major league rotation pieces. Who's the front man of this rotation? Is it Frankie Montas? Is it Sean Manaea? Are they kind of looking for that veteran presence of Mike Fiers to be that top man when it comes to the Oakland A's rotation?
The Fangraphs projections had the front guy as Frankie Montas for the season, according to WAR. And then it went Lizardo, then Peck, and then Manaea. So I think those are probably your top four with how good they can be. Whether or not that's how it shakes out, I don't know. Fiers is, you know, a solid. He'll give you – he's an innings eater guy. He might start the season as, you know, your first or second starter, but he's in reality more like a fifth starter kind for what the rotation is right now and what we're hoping it is at least.
Looking at the Oakland A's bullpen, that's been their biggest key – I would say, what do you think, last 2-3 years, you agree with that?
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm looking at Liam Hendricks, Lou Trevino, Yuse Mary Petit, Jake Diekman. I always mess that up. Joaquin Soria is the bullpen. And, you know, relievers are so volatile. But these five guys, I mean, that's a pretty solid bullpen there. Do you think that the bullpen can carry what's left of the rotation if they can't? You know, if let's just say that Jesus Luzardo and AJ Puck don't give you 150 innings, can these bullpen pieces kind of carry the rest of the load here?
I think that the assumption is that Chris Bassett's going to be another one of those guys, so he could be another long guy along with Petit. So that'll help eat up some of those innings that are laying around for Puck and Luzardo, or if there's struggling starter. Diekman's solid against both lefties and righties, which helps with the three batter rule. They got TJ McFarland off of waivers, and he got shelled at home, but was pretty solid on the road. So the hope is that if you change his home venue from Arizona to Oakland, that just playing in Oakland helps. And he had like a 3.5 ERA on the road and like a 5 ERA or something like that at home. So maybe he's an under-the-radar candidate to actually help out the bullpen. Lou Trevino was not great last season, but the hope is that, you know, he got rid of his love handles was a big report. So he's in good shape, and we're hoping that he can turn around too. So they've got the pieces. It's just a matter of making them all fit. Billy Bean and Doug Forrest will definitely go out there and fix the bullpen if it needs to be fixed.
I think Lou Trevino gave me his love handles, I'll tell you that. When I'm looking at this team, obviously the lineup is the primary thing here. We got to head to a break. You mind staying on with us for the second segment and talk about the lineup a little bit?
Yeah, for sure, man.
Before we head to our second segment, we got to remind you about Arizona Tourism. Now, if you want to check out spring training, the best way to do so is to check out www.visitarizona.com/springtraining. They have all kinds of information on hotels, restaurants, Mill Avenue, my personal favorite. You can check out the NASCAR race coming there on March 8th. You can look at items on the Grand Canyon and all things that Arizona has to offer when it comes to tourism. So once again, that's www.visitarizona.com/springtraining. We'll be right back with more Locked On Angels right after this.
Welcome back to Locked On Angels. I'm Jason J.D. Hernandez, just across Cotillo with Locked On Anaheim Ducks. And now here's your host, Taylor Blake Ward. Vamonos!
Welcome back to Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You're locked in with Taylor Blake Ward. We got Jason Burke on with us. He's the host of Locked On A's. And we're talking about the Oakland A's doing our division preview. Now, Jason, we talked about pitching in the first segment, but here in the second segment, I want to talk about the real item is the Oakland Athletics offense. I don't see a weak spot anywhere in this lineup. Do you?
I mean, whoever's playing second base is probably going to be the weak spot, but they still got potential. If it's Franklin Barreto or Tony Kemp, if he's getting full playing time, who knows what he could do.
Is Jorge Mateo still in the picture here?
As far as I'm concerned, yes. I've been adamant that he's probably the front runner, even though they got Barreto, just because he has one tool that you know you can rely on, and that's speed. Whereas Barreto is bat first, and he hasn't shown his bat in the majors at all. So personally, I think I'd prefer Mateo at this point, but we still got games to play in the spring.
Now I'm looking at this offense, Mark Canna, Robbie Grossman, Ramon Laureano, Stephen Piscotty. These are really high-end players, but I look at this entire team. Marcus Semien finished third in MVP voting last year, and I did not think he was the best player on the field for Oakland through 162 games. I swore that was Matt Chapman. Do you agree with me on that, or was Marcus Semien really that good and I just didn't take notice?
He was really good, but I mean, I think that I definitely have a soft spot for Matt Chapman because defense all day for me. Chapman struggled in little swaths during the season for like a month at a time here and there. So I think that definitely hurt him in the long run. But, you know, Semien was just solid all year and hitting dingers and getting doubles and playing solid. He's improved his defense dramatically from, you know, just a few years ago when they got him.
I'm going to stop you real quick there, Jason. Dramatically, I think, is a wild understatement. He was a horrible defender at shortstop a few years ago, and now he looks, I mean, to be a 7-win player last year, he was fantastic.
Yeah, it's been quite a transformation, and they said it in some report that I was reading yesterday, just the work that each player on the team puts in and day out, their work ethic is unparalleled, and that's something that, you know, as an A's fan, provides me with a little bit of hope, because if you got 26 guys on the roster that are just putting in the work day in, day out to get better. That's kind of awesome.
Now, I was talking to my cousin yesterday, and he plays fantasy baseball. I don't. But he asked me, he says, who's a guy that's kind of under the radar that you think I could get in a late round or something? And I said, you've got to take Matt Olson. I said, that might be one of the most underrated players in all of baseball. Matt Olson, is he the guy right behind Semien and Chapman on this offense?
Oh, definitely. I mean, it depends on what he determines as the late rounds. Because, I mean, you could see Olson going in maybe seventh, eighth round, which is mid in most drafts. But if you're going for like a late round, like 15th round or so, and you don't want to spend on a catcher, Sean Murphy's got some upside too. He's projected for like a 250 average and like 14 dingers and, you know, okay OPS. And those are good stats for fantasy baseball, but you know, he's not going to hurt you in the 15th round, so take a shot on him.
Yeah, I'm not a fantasy guy. I mean, just to me, Matt Olson is such a gifted baseball player. I really like this Oakland offense. I really do. I really like their bullpen. I still have questions about the rotation, which seem fair. There is one guy who has kind of become a staple when it comes to Oakland Athletics, and it's Chris Davis. Have teams figured out to not throw him fastballs in the heart of the plate? I mean, my goodness, you cannot make a mistake in the heart of the plate to that guy unless it's a curveball that's dropping. I can't believe guys still throw knee-high fastballs to him. He smokes them. Has the league figured him out, or is he still just – do you plan on him hitting 40-plus home runs again in 2020?
I think that we're going to find out if the league figured him out this season because he ran into a wall in Pittsburgh last year. And he missed some time. It messed with his timing. I think it affected him a little bit mentally, because I'm not as huge into knowing what's happening with, you know, pitch selection and all that stuff. But if he got to two strikes, I'm like, oh, he's going to get a slider down and away. I know that. And he kept swinging. So that wasn't good for him. So I'm like, he's got to get better at recognizing pitches if that's what it is. Or they're just going to keep doing it. And, you know, you saw what the results were last year. But I think that he's coming in hungry this year, and that's something that, you know, I think, always pays dividends is when somebody's hungry and they want to go perform and show that last season was a fluke. Usually you see a little bit of an uptick. Whether or not he hits 247 with 42 homers or not remains to be seen. But I think that it'll be in between last season and the previous seasons.
Now, we were talking about this during the break, is Pecota projections. And I can't seem to find Oakland's Pecota projections, but you said it was 84, 85 wins. Does that sound right?
Yeah, it was around like 84.2, 84.6, somewhere in there.
And the Angels are projected for 87. Now, I know you just did a show the other day on this, but do you think that the Angels are a better team going into the season than the Oakland Athletics?
I mean, when I saw the standings, I said, no, that's ridiculous. I thought that they were like a few wins worse, personally. But I'm kind of going on the A's being a 97-win team. And whereas I think that the Angels' projection is probably actually close to what they are. But I think that they dinged the A's a little bit. But when you look at the projections for, you know, the offense and the rotation and the bullpen, they're kind of evenly matched, if we're being honest. And I think that there's going to be some competition between those two, and it'll probably depend on who beats up on the Astros more.
Now, let's just get this out of the way. Let's just do this. I didn't ask DC yesterday, but I'm going to ask you today. Project the top three teams in the American League West, and do all three of those teams make the playoffs?
They don't all make the playoffs. I do believe that the A's have a pretty decent shot of actually winning the AL West, and I'm not saying that as a homer. So I'd probably go A's, Astros, Angels.
I think my listeners are going to come and get you here. This is Locked On Angels, man. I'm teasing.
I will put the Angels second, depending on how far back the Astros fall.
No, and I love it's realistic. It's, if you're listening in and you're upset at Jason, I think he's being very real right now. I think that there are a lot of questions in the American League West, starting with the Houston Astros and how good they actually are. If you were to ask me today, I still think the Houston Astros win 90-plus games. I still think that they are the front runner in the division. It's if the Oakland A's pitching and that rotation can hold firm, which is the exact same question with the Angels. Can the Angels' rotation keep them in the playoff hunt? I think it's realistic that what you just said is a pretty serious scenario. If A.J. Puk and Jesus Luzardo can pitch their way through the whole season, I think the Oakland A's are the team to beat in the West. Same thing could be said is, you know, if the Angels guys can turn the corner, if Dylan Bundy getting out of the AL West is, or AL East is a real thing, if Julio Teheran can still pitch a 3 ERA, if Andrew Heaney turns the corner, Griffin Canny, that's so many questions, though. And it's like, this is where I stand, is the Angels have more questions on the rotation than the Oakland A's do. What's your take on the Angels in 2020?
Now, I don't want to light the pitchforks for your followers, but in the projections that I was reading, you know, the A's and Angels were pretty solid, you know, pretty similar in the starting rotation. But I feel like the A's have a little bit more depth in the rotation. So if they have an injury or two that occurs, they can fill in at like a similar level. Whereas I think the Angels are relying mostly on these five guys. Am I incorrect in that?
No, I think that's fair. And the Angels have like 15 starters on the depth chart. It's just that from five or six on, it's not great. You know, if Patrick Sandoval, you know, is still a young guy and he could be something, but after that, you're looking at Jaime Barria, Felix Pena, and nothing against Felix Pena. He pitched fine last year, but you can't really rely on those two guys to give you 25 starts. You need your primary five, and if Patrick Sandoval can do it, then yeah, that's great, and it adds that six man. You're not getting Shohei for 25 starts, maybe 20 at max. But yeah, I think I agree with you, is that one injury to the rotation doesn't kill the Athletics, but it could kill the Angels. And I think that's a really valid point, Jason.
Okay, not to go off topic here real quick, but did you see that picture of Shohei Ohtani's arms that was going around like 2 hours ago?
Biceps, baby. Do those curls.
Has he had those the whole time? Oh, my God.
You know what? I got to say, he looks like a skinny guy, right? But I saw, you know, when he came for his initial press conference, when they introduced Shohei Ohtani, I sat there and I'm like, this guy looks like a swimmer. He has a swimmer's body, big shoulders, tall guy. It's like he's a a top V and a lower V. I don't know if the hips are as big, but he's got so much power in the hips. Yeah, he's a pretty big guy, and you'd never expect it.
Yeah, he looked like straight-up Macho Man from the 80s. I was like, holy crap, those arms, I didn't know those were there. And he's such a tiny guy. I was like, oh, my God. So, and you say swimmer's body. I'm like, that's what it is. That's exactly a swimmer's body.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
You'd never expect it looking at him in a uniform. It's like some guys, you look at him, and they're like, oh, he looks great in a uniform. And Shohei, you're like, he looks good, but he's a pretty skinny guy. He's really not. But
So real quick, my thing on the Astros. They're dealing with a lot of media scrutiny right now. It's their own fault, obviously. And I think that them going on the road throughout the course of the year is going to take a mental drain on their whole team. And it's going to have an effect on them. So are they a 102 win team? Probably not. And, you know, they're not cheating, obviously, we hope. How good are they without the cheating? We don't know yet. So I think that there's some mental aspects, because baseball is a very mental game. And there's going to be a lot of things that could just take a couple wins here, a couple wins there. It could be like a 90-win team, and then all of a sudden the A's and Angels could move past them. And you got two teams from the AL West still in the playoffs, just not the Astros. And they would still be a decent team.
I'm not going to say I disagree, but I think that the Astros on talent alone are still incredibly good. And I'm not saying that what you said knocks that, but the mental aspect is so important. But I think that these guys have gotten to the point to where if this had come out in, you know, a few weeks ago going into spring training, I think it would be different. But the fact that it came out in January, I think that helps the Astros in a sense a little bit. But I like your point there, Jason. I really do.
And I do think that, you know, the opposing teams, I know they're not going to be facing the Dodgers or anything, but the opposition is furious at these guys, and they're going to want to give them their best shot each night. So, like, if you got the Royals legitimately trying for their three or four games, you know, in a series, as opposed to being like, yeah, it's the Astros, that could be, you know, a couple wins here, a couple wins there. And it's little things, but I think that it could have an effect.
I love it, Jason. Thank you so much for coming on. Obviously, we can listen to you at Locked On A's, but where else can our listeners find you?
We are at Locked On A's on Twitter. I am at ByJasonB on Twitter. And then if they have questions about the A's, they can email me at LockedOnAthletics@gmail.com.
You're the man, Jason. Thanks so much for coming on, buddy.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Once again, that is Jason Burke of Locked On A's. You can follow him on Twitter at ByJasonB. That's B-Y, Jason, and the big letter B. Also, you can follow Locked On Athletics on Twitter at Locked On A's. That's all we have for today's show. And speaking of Twitter, you can follow us there at Locked On Angels. You can follow me personally at Taylor Blake Ward. If you want to download today's show or any of the episodes on the Locked On Podcast Network or subscribe to Locked On Angels, you can do so via Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or whatever podcasting platform you're using to listen to today's show. Reminder, today's show is brought to you by Hotels.com. Don't hate like your friend's trip. Book your own through Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com. Be there. Do that. Get rewarded. Thanks again for tuning in. We'll have Bryce Patrick on tomorrow of Locked On Rangers to talk more about the division. For Locked On Angels, I'm Taylor Blake Ward, reminding you to dot your I's, cross your T's, and stay nasty, Anaheim. We'll see you tomorrow.